Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, November 27th. Folks, we made it. 100th episode of the Betting Above the Rim podcast. We're so excited for you to be there, be here with us. Obviously, before we start, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Hopefully, you all have a safe and holiday weekend. On this podcast, we're going to get into six topics. First, UConn's lost two games in a row. What is going on with the UConn Huskies? And more specifically, what's going on with head coach Dan Hurley? Next, Auburn, after beating Houston, after coming back and beating Iowa State, and beating North Carolina, is Bruce Pearl's team the best team in college basketball right now? Next, we head to the women's game. I told you I was going to talk about this. Really good matchup taking place Friday night in Fort Worth as Hannah Hidalgo and Olivia Miles head south to take on Haley Van Lith and the TCU Horned Frogs. I'll give you the player that I did not name that will be most pivotal to this game. Number four, we look at the Phoenix Suns off a 127-100 win versus the Lakers as Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal returned. What are our thoughts about Phoenix? Can this team legitimately make a championship run? Next, we'll stay in the NBA, and I'll give you, based on what I've seen, who I like to win the NBA Cup. And last but not least, as it's Thanksgiving, and it's the holiday of being what you're thankful for, I will give you some of the people that are important in my life that I am thankful for. Let's get started the podcast with UConn. And not UConn for what we're thinking about. The two-time defending champions have hit a rough stretch. Over the last 2 days, they lost a two-point game to Memphis, and then they lost a one-point game to Colorado. The Memphis game was in overtime, and then obviously the Colorado game was a one-point game with Colorado taking the lead in the last 30 seconds. So when you look at UConn, well, what's going on? First things first, folks, the talent is not there to what we have seen the last 2 years. Tristan Newton, gone. Cam Spencer, gone. Stephon Castle, gone. Adonis Sinogo, gone. Donovan Killingen, gone. Folks, those are five, let's be honest, major assets. Andre Hawkins, gone. Andre Jackson, gone. I mean, those are seven pivotal players in the last 2 years, especially, and remember, Castle's just a one-year player, that have all left Dan Hurley's team. So when Dan Hurley's team got off to the start that they did, beating Sacred Heart, blowing them out, blowing out New Hampshire, blowing out Lemoyne, who's in their second year of Division I, and East Texas A&M, folks, I never heard of them, I kind of drank the Kool-Aid, and I thought that this team was going to just roll to a national championship. But they lost their last two, like I said. So what's been the issue? Well, guys have to step up. Star freshman Liam McNeely has been up and down. Johnson stepping into the center role hasn't been consistent. Caravan has had rough shooting nights. But it's the man that's coaching the team that has my attention, and that's Dan Hurley. A Dan Hurley that I said earlier on the Sports Grid app, I had the honor to coach against Dan Hurley, we used to call him, when he left Seton Hall, or Rutgers, I'm not sure where he was then, to become the head basketball coach at St. Benedict's Prep. And we played against each other in summer league at Seton Hall, back in the back gym. I had the pleasure of coaching against Mr. Hurley, Bob Hurley, when he was closing on his 1,000th career victory. So I've been across the sidelines from Dan. I've been across the sidelines from Mr. Hurley. And they're as tense as they become. They have their players feed off of their energy. And let's be honest, Dan Hurley or Mr. Hurley has no problem getting into your ass if you're not doing something right. But Dan has gone overboard. And Dan's gone overboard with the officials. Regardless if Dan agreed with the foul call with 92-92 in overtime, under 30 seconds left, the foul call is made. The fact that he got a technical foul, as much as I want to say is that officials need to walk away, you use certain words, you're going to get teed up. And Dan must have said it. So for him to do that is not smart. Simply put, folks, a lot of times as coaches, we get texts because we want to motivate our kids or to defend our kids. We never do it in a spot where it could cost us the game. And that happened with Dan. And then I watched against Colorado as his team blew a lead. He was losing his mind again at the officials. And then I started thinking, is there something here that we're all missing? Reached out to some people. Hey, is there a problem with Dan Hurley and officials? Yes. They're sick of his antics. And as much as I love Dan Hurley and what he's done, he's got to control his emotions. If he expects his team, a young team, an inexperienced team, to win, he's got to coach them up and stop worrying about what the referees are doing. I get it if it's early in the game. I get it when it's in the middle of the game. But coach has got to focus in on his guys to get them to win. If he does that, I still can't write UConn off because they're going to play as hard as anybody. They're going to defend as well as anybody. They're going to rebound as well as anybody. And when Dan is locked in, he's as good as anybody in the country. But he's not locked in completely. If UConn's going to turn this around and make the run that I think they can make, it's not going to fall on the players. It's going to fall on Dan Hurley. Speaking of coaches that have done a great job for a long time, how about Bruce Pearl and the job that he's done at Auburn? 5-0 to start the year. But unlike other teams, he is not scared to challenge others. How about going on the road and coming back and beating Houston, which that's not an easy feat to do in Houston? Or how about coming back and beating Iowa State? Or unfortunately, I'm going to say this, Rebecca Harrelson, our VP of social media, beating North Carolina last night. So my thought process is, are they the best team in college basketball right now? I'm still not there yet. And that's not because of what they're doing. It's about what I think other teams have. And for me, I think right now the title goes through Kansas. You saw what they did last night, winning by 3 versus Duke. Hunter Dickinson gets kicked out of the game. They may be the best team in the country. Another team you have to look at and consider, it's got to be Gonzaga. A Gonzaga team, it's 5-0, including the beatdown that they beat Baylor with so bad. I felt bad for Scott Drew and his team beating them by 38 points. They're as explosive as anybody offensively, and they're secretly good defensively. So while I'm really big on Bruce Pearl, and I've always been big on Bruce Pearl, and the fact that you can look at his team, right? A team that's going to play Memphis, by the time you watch the podcast, we'll see if they win the Marriott Invitational. But a team in Auburn that's got such a tremendous front line, led by Johnny Broome right now, who we need to talk about, maybe the national player of the year, getting 20.7 points, 12.3 rebounds, shooting at 60.5% from the floor. By the way, Johnny, 59.1% from the free throw line. Get that percentage up. But when they have guys like Johnny Broome, when you got a guy like a Chauncey Johnson giving you 10.8, 6.7, right? When you got six guys getting 10 points per game or more. You know, when you have a team that's got, when you look at some of your main guys that are getting you at least 20, you know, at least let's say 18 minutes a game, and you got, you know, four of them shooting at 50%, it's tough. They're a really good team, and they're dynamic offensively, and they're pretty good defensively. I'm not ready to crown them yet. But you could argue Mark Few, Bruce Pearl, Calvin Sampson, the three best coaches, I think, in college basketball to never win a national championship. This could be Auburn's year that they get it done. Let's move on to the women's game, where it's a really good matchup taking place Friday night as the dynamic backcourt, I think the best backcourt in college basketball, of Hannah Hidalgo and Olivia Miles, shout out to Jersey in the building, as they lead Notre Dame into Fort Worth, Texas, to take on Haley Van Lith and the TCU Horned Frogs. This is a big spot for a TCU team that everybody knows that I'm a big believer of. You could call it by knowing the TCU staff and knowing Mark Campbell and Xavi Lopez, for almost a decade, seeing them work, seeing what they did at Oregon. But I got to admit, this is the test. And kudos to those guys for putting themselves out there, because not only do you have Notre Dame coming to town on Friday, a week from Sunday, they got South Carolina coming to town. So when you look at this matchup, everybody's going to think about it's the guard play, right? Hannah Hidalgo, who has been absolutely fantastic, who was the best player on the floor over the weekend when they went against Kiki Irafin and Juju Watkins, right? A Hannah Hidalgo that's getting you 24.8 points, 6.2, 3.6. Or Olivia Miles is giving you 18.6 and 8 and 6.8 assists, right? Or Sonya Citron, steady, 10 points a game. And then you look on the other side, and there's Haley Van Lith, who I told every single person that listens to this podcast that Mark and Xavi were going to unlock this kid. And man, has she been unlocked, scoring a 19.2 points per game, 7 assists per game, 5.7 rebounds, shooting 42% from the floor. Now, she needs to shoot it better from three. You know, you can also look at the guard play that no one really talks about is Madison Connor giving you 15.8 points per game, 5 assists. That Madison is her shooter, shooting 46.3% from three. But the matchup in this game comes down to one person. Know the name, Sedona Prince. Sedona Prince giving you a 20.7 points per game, 9.7 rebounds at 6'7", has the best footwork in the low post in college basketball, in my opinion. And an ability to play in that pick and roll game with Van Lith. So Sedona's going to have to put a lot of pressure on Notre Dame. And I think that's going to be the key to this matchup. Is can Sedona Prince dominate the inside and go against a player like a Latu King? But Latu King's a power forward. She's 6 feet tall, right? You know, you look at Kate Koval. She's 6'5". She's a freshman. And I know she's been pretty good. You know, 8.7 rebounds. But I think Sedona Prince has as good a footwork as anyone, and she's 2 inches taller. So that's the matchup I want you to watch out for. If Sedona Prince can get to 20 and 10, and Van Lith and Connor can hold their own versus Hidalgo and Miles, I'm not saying outplay them, but don't turn the ball over and be in the game, and knock down shots and value possessions and make it a half-court game. If this is a half-court game, I'm telling you this right now, TCU is going to get an upset. They've already beat NC State. I'm a big believer in this team. I am taking TCU in a major upset. Right now, they're 100 to win the national championship. If they beat Notre Dame on Friday night, they're going to go from 100 to 1 to 20 to 1 to win a national championship. And then if they beat South Carolina a week from Sunday, they may go 10 to 1. So if you're a believer in TCU, especially if you have books that allow you to cash out, this may be the time to jump on TCU, because if they get these two wins, they're going to jump up the boards. Let's head to the NBA, where on a 127-100 win last night, the Phoenix Suns looked as good as they've looked in a long time. You look at the box score, Devin Booker, 26 points, 10 assists. Tyus Jones, who I think is a really underrated point guard, 8.6 assists, 5 steals. KD with 27. Bradley Beal covered them both with 23. Yusuf Nurkic, double-double. I love this prop, by the way, Yusuf Nurkic last night. I got to say this, folks. If Durant, Beal, and Booker are healthy, along with Nurkic, you got to think they got a chance of winning a championship. Kevin Durant, even at this age, is as good as there is as a pure scorer in the league. Devin Booker, when he's pressed to be a distributor, can distribute. Bradley Beal has been a good pro for a very long time. But I can't put them there, even though I think they're 9-1 with Kevin Durant in the lineup. Why? Because when they're not there, they don't play well. And I just keep thinking about the Kyrie, KD, Harden Nets that could never seem to get enough time on the floor together. Right? So to me, as well as they played last night in blowing out the Lakers, I can't jump on this team and say, championship team. I need to see them get into the playoffs healthy first. And as much as you want to talk about Booker and Durant being hurt, it's really Bradley Beal that has me the most concerned. A Bradley Beal that has missed huge, and I mean huge, stretches of time over the course of his career. A Bradley Beal that, while is a dynamic scorer, right? And right now this year, Bradley Beal's getting you about 18.3 points per game as a number three scoring option. This is a Bradley Beal, folks, over the course of his career, has averaged almost 22 points per game. I know he's shooting it at 39.4% from three, which is really good. I think that's the second highest it's been since 2016-17. But since 2018-2019, Bradley Beal has never played over 60 games. That is a concern. And if they're going to win a championship, all three of them have to be healthy. So what I'm saying is, I'm not saying they can't win a championship or can. I'm saying is, if they're not healthy, they have no chance in hell. Wait until the playoffs to put your tickets in for the Suns to win an NBA championship. Even if those guys miss games, they just got to get there healthy. Let's head to the NBA Cup really quickly, where the Boston Celtics, after beating Cleveland, have now taken the top spot in regards to most likely winner at 5-1. Golden State is 6.5-1. That's simply put because Golden State has already clinched their spot in the next round. Right? They're the only team besides Houston that has done so. New York, 7.5-1. Dallas, 7.5. Houston, 7.5, by virtue of the fact that they've got their way through. When you look at this, okay, and you got to remember, Bulls are 2-1, Hawks are 2-1, and Boston's 2-1. You have to remember that if Boston and Atlanta get tied, Atlanta has the tie-breaking advantage because they have the win over Boston. The Knicks left have Orlando, who is also 2-0. But you got to remember, Orlando has not been healthy, obviously not having Paolo Banchero for a large chunk of the season. And the game that they have to play is at New York. Hence why New York is 7.5 or 7-1. My pick is the Knicks. I think Tibbs wants this. I think Tibbs wants to take this seriously. And I think when you look at this team with New York, after watching them hang 145 points to Denver two nights ago, they are so skilled offensively. It's scary. the way the Knicks can attack you with any one of five guys that can give you 20 points a night, the fact that Karl Anthony Towns is making Leon Rose look like a prophet. I'll talk more, a little bit more about Leon Rose in a minute. The fact that Jalen Brunson now realizes that he doesn't have to take the scoring load and do it all himself. But to me, particularly the play of OG Anunoby becoming one of the best two-way players in the NBA, he should be in there for defensive player of the year right now. OG at 19.1 points per game off a 40 piece. The Knicks are dangerous, folks. And I think they're going to win the NBA Cup at 7-1. Let's end today's podcast quickly on who I am thankful for as we, amazingly enough, have hit the 100 episode mark the day before Thanksgiving. First off, and he probably hear this, obviously, because he's my producer, is Matty George. Matty George and I never really got a chance to work with each other until we started this podcast. And as a coach, I drive him crazy because I send him stuff all times of the day and night, sometimes middle of the night. I mean, I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about what I want in the podcast. And Matty's always stepped up and helped me. So, Matt, I'm so thankful for you. We would not be here if you were not doing this with me. So I consider this to be our podcast, not my podcast. Speaking of ours, I have to thank Rebecca Harrelson, the VP of social media. This was a thought that Rebecca and I had, and she was so gracious enough to put her trust in me and go to the executive team of Sports Grid to allow me to kind of give my take on all things basketball. And Rebecca's been my most loyal supporter in the network. So, Rebecca, thank you so much. To the entire Sports Grid family, from my friends that host shows like Ben Stevens and Donnie Wrightside and Joe Lisi and Kevin Walsh and Joe Ranieri and Scotty Wetzel, Scott Farrell and Mike Carver, to producers like Matty George I mean, I can go on and on, with the producers that have done a great job. Joe Friso, Chris Kofsky, Pat Foster, Sammy Yarnell, guys that have left the network over the last year. Thank you to those guys because those guys kind of took me in. You got to realize, folks, I didn't have a broadcasting background. This is just me as a coach talking to you how I think. And those guys have been great for me, and the executive team has been great for me. So I am thankful to them to allowing me to be who I am, but mold me to where I hopefully am giving the audience something that they want to see and hear every time I'm on the network. I got to thank my kids. This has been a rough year and a half personally for me. With what I'm going through with obviously my personal life and obviously, losing my mom in April. My kids have always been my biggest supporters. They think their dad is famous. I do not think that at all, but it's pretty cool that your kids think so. So shout out to Maddie and Jules. They are, I'm blessed to have two great kids at 11 and 9 that are make me want to be the best person I can. Dad loves you so much, and I hope we have the best holiday season. And those close to me, my father, my mom, who I said lost in April, my friends, the people that you know who you are and what you mean to me, I can't thank you guys enough. You guys have been with me. I have a specific ride or die that's been, really good to me. I can't thank you guys enough. At all my friends and everything, obviously one of the most people I talk about sometimes, my best friend, Don McDermott. It's just been amazing for me for a long time, and we've been through hell together personally and professionally. And, out of all my friends, thank you all, but specifically to Donnie, thank you, and everyone else, you know who you are. And lastly, Leon Rose. Wait, what? Leon Rose? Folks, I am 48 years old. The Mets had a decent year. The Jets have been a train wreck. But the Knicks have always been my team. And I questioned when they got Leon Rose. I am so thankful for this man because for the first time since the 90s, it's exciting to be a Knick fan. It's exciting to every game get ready to watch this team play. And it's a different Knick team than the 90s when it was rugged with Ewing and Oakley and Starks and Mason and Derek Harper and you know, Greg Anthony, and then, you know, obviously going later on with the Latrell Sprewells and Allen Houstons and the Kirk Thomases and the Marcus Cambys and the Chris Dudleys and Van Gundy or Riles leading them. That was teams that would just fight you in a phone booth. This team is, it's basketball, it's a beauty to watch. And it's a different way to watch the Knicks, probably since the 70s when you think about, you know, obviously Clyde and Willis Reed and Dave DeBuscher and Jerry Lucas and Earl the Pearl Monroe and Dollar Bill Bradley and Barnett and Phil Jackson and Red Holtzman. They were such a beautiful team to watch offensively. So shout out to Leon Rose for making basketball beautiful again in the Big Apple. Leon, we are thankful for you as Knick fans, and we've been waiting since 73, and we just hope you can bring us a title. This has been Betting Above the Rim podcast number 100. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very, very best in sports gambling. Next week, we'll highlight all the basketball that happened in the NBA with the NBA Cup. We'll talk about who's hot and who's not in college basketball. We'll dabble into women's basketball as well. And you know, if there's a ball and it's orange, you know I'm going to talk about it. For my producer, Matty George, Vinny does a great job with the graphics. Thank you, guys, for listening. Happy Thanksgiving. Remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.